If everyone will take their seats, please. If everyone will kindly take their seats. If everyone or who wishes they were could please take their seats. I want to start off by welcoming the Taoiseach. Leo, this is one of our most precious traditions. We come together here to honor those who are known for the gifts of Blarney and the tall tales, which in this town means absolutely everybody. And with all things Irish, this began with a good scrap. Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill were fierce political opponents. This goes way back to those days. Their heritage was their bond. When it came to Ireland, the only thing they would argue about was who was more Irish. Reagan was so committed to winning this argument that he would say he was old enough to have actually met St. Patrick. And with a name like Ryan, I've got to say it is a personal privilege to carry on this tradition. It is a real honor to have you here, Taoiseach. Thank you very much for coming. My own family comes from County Kilkenny, from a small town called Greigdamana on the back side of the Black Stair Mountains. My wife and extended family and I visited Greigdamana just a few years ago. We went and found the farm that our family came from, where my cousins still live in the same farm. We went to the abbey where our family, our ancestors were married and buried, and our cousin William O'Shea still farms the same place. And they had this beautiful ceremony they were putting together for us in downtown Greigdamana. They had the local hurling hero coming out. They had the local TD and the abbot. And William O'Shea, who was my cousin, was supposed to kick things off at the pub, and he couldn't find a parking spot. He just kept going around the block looking for a parking spot while all the festivals were waiting. And he finally got so frustrated, he prayed out loud. He said, "Lord, if you find me a parking spot, I will give up drinking whiskey and I will go to church every single Sunday." And at that very moment, the clouds parted, sun shined down on a beautiful parking spot that just opened up right in front of the facility. He said, "Never mind, I found one myself." I promise this is the last one of those jokes, Leo. For people who may have heard this before, the reason Irish jokes are famous is because they're repeated. So, Leo, this is actually not your first time here, so this is really a welcome back. And what's exciting about this is you used to be an intern here not too many years ago, and now that you are the guest of honor. And I think that is just incredible. Many of us got our start that way. I, too, started as an intern here. And this is all not all that different. Politicians go on and on, and you hope to get a free meal out of it. So that is where we are here today. And the good news is we have Guinness. Now, the Guinness does taste better in Ireland, but I realize this probably is not the right year to bring up trade issues. So... but our ties with Ireland are as strong as ever. I just look around the room. I look around the room and I see we have a speaker that's Irish. We have a Senate majority leader that is Scots-Irish. We've got members of the president's cabinet here. We've got maybe even a Kennedy running for president. Where is Joe? Yeah, he's around. Yeah, he's right here. Yeah. But look at, But think about it. You got Pence, you got Kelly, you got Mulvaney, you got O'Manuchin, you got Fitzmaddis, you know. You could go on and on. All this really means is that our meetings basically start twice as late, last twice as long, and we basically get half the decisions made. But on a very serious note, what's wonderful about this tradition is our rich and deep heritage. Before Notre Dame was known as the Fighting Irish, that name belonged to the U.S. Army's 69th Infantry Regiment. They say Lincoln was so moved by this. He was so moved by the bravery of this brigade that on a visit to the battlefield, He picked up a corner of the Irish flag, he kissed it, and he said, God bless this Irish flag. Well, God bless the Irish people too. The Irish people, in the spirit of the great St. Patrick, have always turned darkness into light and hardship into hope. They were our friends when we were friendless, and they were the defenders of our union when we were divided. The Irish came here in search of a better life, and they made this a better country. With their faith, with their passion, it's a people of gentle hearts and a people of strong roots. So in these times, as we strive to secure peace and opportunity, the friendship of the Irish remains our anchor in the choppiest of waters. So I would like to offer a toast with a proper head on the Guinness. May the winds of fortune sail you. May you sail the gentlest sea. May it always be the other guy or gal who says, this drink's on me. Sláinte. Sláinte. At this time, the Taoiseach of the President next. At this, I don't have my. I think the priest is ready. There he is. I couldn't see you. There you are, Father. Yeah. What's that? That's what I thought. Yeah, he's. Yeah, Father, you're not ready yet.
It's not yet.
Yeah, I didn't think so. You threw me off there. It's not your turn yet, Father. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, the priest gets up, you kind of, you know, you want to defer. President. Yeah, at this time, I would like to introduce to come to the microphone, not Father yet, but the President of the United States.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Paul, and Vice President Pence, distinguished members of Congress, so many wonderful people from Ireland, so many friends, and we appreciate it for joining us on this very special occasion. It really is. First time was last year, and I still remember, I said, that was a lot of fun. We'll do it. I guess, what do we have? 6 more left after this. Right? Well, we're honored to welcome Taoiseach. We have a long experience. You'll explain it later, but we actually knew each other from a different life, and it was very successful. I also want to warmly welcome Ambassador Mulhall, who has done an excellent job of representing a lot of good people. Thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador. Your wife, Greta. Thank you, Greta, very much. And all of the really incredible Irish delegation, who many of whom I know very well. St. Patrick's Day is a time for us to honor and build upon the lasting bonds of our friendship between the United States and Ireland. Bonds forged through a very common heritage, shared values, and a united vision for a peaceful and prosperous future. More than 30 million Americans today claim Irish heritage. That's why you have such power in the halls of Congress and everywhere else. 30 million people. Among the many wonderful Americans who trace their roots back to Ireland are elected leaders like Paul, like Kevin, like Mike. I just have to look at almost this whole room. But we have just a tremendous group of unbelievable leaders. And a friend of mine, Cardinal Dolan, is a very, very proud person of Ireland. It was our first Catholic president, John Kennedy, himself of Irish descent, who set our nation's sights on the moon. We're looking at Mars, by the way, in case anybody hasn't seen it. Trying to top him. We're going to get there. It's going to move it along pretty good. A lot of things have happened, Mike, having to do with that subject. Way ahead of schedule. And astronaut Michael Collins, who you all know and of Irish descent, and he piloted Apollo 11 mission that planted the American footprint and the American flag where no man had ever gone before. This impressive legacy of accomplishment is woven into our national character. The toughness, the grit, and the fighting Irish resolve are fundamental American ways of life. So on the St. Patrick's Day, we celebrate our long friendship and close ties with the people of Ireland, special, incredible, wonderful people. And we look forward to an exciting future that we will all share together. And it's an honor to have you with us. And I look forward to seeing you often. Whenever there's a problem, you call. We'll solve it. Okay? Except for trade. They got those taxes so low. You're a tough one to compete with the taxes. But congratulations. Great job.
Thank you very much.
Not yet, Father. Not yet, just waiting. No pressure, Father. On June 14th of last year, Leo Varadkar became the 13th person in Ireland's history to hold the position of Taoiseach. Leo is the son of an Irish-born nurse and an Indian-born physician. At age of 7 or 8, I'm told, he announced that he wanted to become the Minister for Health. He fulfilled that mission and much, much more. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to, in his first time visiting Washington in this capacity, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar.
Thank you, Leo. Welcome. Good to have
you very much. My private secretary very, very kindly put my speech underneath the podium for me. He said it's on the second row, just down here. He didn't tell me that it was going to be weighed down by 2 pints of Guinness that are actually down here, so only in America. Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, friends of Ireland, and distinguished guests. Is Cúis Áthastam Fáin Seo Libh Inniu, Ar Son Rialtas Agus Muintir Na Héireann, Bannachtaí, Nafela Padraig, Orif Galair. Mr. Speaker, thank you very much for the really kind invitation to join you this afternoon to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with so many true friends of Ireland in this really magnificent setting. It's a very special occasion for me, as you allude to the fact that I once worked here in my youth. I served as a congressional intern back in the year 2000, working here on Capitol Hill, as an intern for Congressman Jack Quinn, representing at the time New York 30, Buffalo, New York, who I know is a friend to some of you here today. And I actually used to give tours of this building, believe it or not, because that was part of what interns had to do. Now, I imagine it was probably a strange experience for people coming down from Buff to meet an Irish intern with an Indian name to bring them on a tour of their Capitol building. But somehow or another, it seemed to work, and I gave a pretty mean tour, I reckon. And I do know each and every statue from each and every state and where they come from, but I believe they've changed over the years a little bit. But it is a very special place for me for another reason as well. And it's a place that I hold dear. And one of the things that was given to me when I finished up my time working here was an American flag, a star-spangled banner that flew over Cannon office building, where I worked for some time. And that's a memento, a keepsake that I've kept with me since then, and is one that I keep in my office. It's now part of the furniture in the Taoiseach's office, that American flag that flew here 20 years ago. And very much reminds me of that special friendship that exists between Ireland and America, and this special place which helped me to develop my view of the world, helped me to learn the art of politics, and spurred me towards a career in public service and in politics as well. I want to particularly thank our host, Speaker Ryan, who's a long-standing friend of Ireland, as you know, and proudly traces his roots back to Greig na Mana in County Kilkenny. I don't know how many of you know Greig na Mana, but it's a beautiful village in County Kilkenny. I'd never heard of anyone refer to downtown Greig na Mana before. But, it doesn't quite have a downtown, but it is a very, very really beautiful village in County Kilkenny. And we, in fact, had a chance meeting some years ago when he and his beautiful family made a private visit to Ireland, and we ran into each other in the Irish Senate. So it's really good to renew the acquaintance and look forward to speaking to you again a little bit later on. I also want to thank President Trump in particular for taking the time to be with us here today, continuing a remarkable tradition, which, as you know, was started back in 1983. By two really great Irish Americans, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill. And I'm really glad that this tradition has continued. We had a really good meeting earlier on talking about some important issues, talking about some of the undocumented Irish people who are here in America, hardworking, taxpaying people who are very loyal to America and what we may be able to do about that. Talking about trade, I'm an optimist on that one. I think we can have a new fair trade and free trade deal between Europe and America, and there's no better man to make a deal than President Trump, so I'm sure if we all put our minds to that, it can be done. And also talking about Northern Ireland and the real need and desire that we all share to make sure that we don't go backwards, that people keep working together in Northern Ireland, and that we don't have a hard border on our island ever again. So I want to thank Congress and the White House for your indispensable and steadfast support for Northern Ireland over the years. I forgot to tell the story, Mr. President. Oh. As the President alluded to the fact that we actually had been in contact before the President became President and before I became Taoiseach. And it happened 3 or 4 years ago when I was Minister for Tourism. And just to show how small the world really is. At the time, Ambassador Mulhall was ambassador to London, and I was over, I think, for a rugby match. And as you know, there's an important rugby match coming up this weekend. And I'm sports minister as well, by the way, so I was there in business. My assistant John Carroll said that there's a call. Donald Trump wants to speak to you. And I just thought this can't be the case. You know, this is. This has to be a piss take by one of my staff members. You know, surely a businessman like Donald Trump would write a letter first, and we'd organise a meeting. But as we all know, President Trump doesn't work like that. He's a very, very direct man, likes to get things done. So at the other end of the phone was Donald Trump, saying to me that he'd bought this resort in Ireland, in County Clare, this beautiful golf resort called Doon Beg, but there was a problem nearby. Somebody was trying to build a wind farm. And that, of course, could have a real impact on tourism and the beauty of the landscape. So I endeavoured to do what I could do about it, and I rang the County Council and inquired about the planning permission, and subsequently the planning permission was declined, and the wind farm was never built, thus the landscape being preserved. And the President has very kindly given me credit for that, although I do think it probably would have been refused anyway, but I'm very happy to take credit for it if the President is going to offer it to me. To the members of the Friends of Ireland, so ably led by Congressman Peter King and also Richie Neal, you've played a really vital role in relations between Ireland and America. And the United States has been our most steadfast partner down the years. And I know you all stand resolutely with us as we work to ensure that the Good Friday Agreement and its institutions, the power-sharing executive, the cross-community assembly, and the North-South bodies are restored and are functioning as soon as possible. And I'm really glad that the Secretary of State, Karen Bradley, and the British ambassador and some politicians from Northern Ireland are represented here as well. It is a really great source of pride for all of us to see the continuing powerful tradition of Irish-American representation at the highest levels in your country. And I want to thank you all for your continued interest and your affection for Ireland. Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, Friends of Ireland, there's an ancient piece of Irish wisdom which says that the greatest blessing comes from those who turn strangers into friends and friends into family. For centuries, we've been each other's family, and that, I think, is at the heart of the blessing that is the Irish-American relationship. So long may it continue, and thank you very much.